Top Shelf conversation from Top Shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
On a Thursday edition, 9 days from the desert, Buckeyes and Clemson Tigers. Set out the Brian Keating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Will Vandervoort writes for Clemson Insider. He joins us. Will, you know, obviously there was tremendous motivation for both LSU and even more so for us as you know, our coach was lobbying to be the number one. And, of course, the thinking there, not necessarily from Ryan Day, but from all of us, was to avoid Clemson because we all know what they are. We know the talent that they are. We know they haven't lost in 2 years. We know all of those things. But this is a Clemson team that many people up here, at least, haven't seen just because they have not played the big marquee games this year, much because of the conference that they are in. How has this Clemson team improved over the course of this year, and how does it stack up against the Clemson team we saw a year ago?
That's a good question. First of all, I'll start with how they've improved. And guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. The way they've improved, I think, is one thing is that I think from a defense standpoint, they've been pretty consistent all year. The same defense that they rolled out there with in the beginning of the season against Texas A&M. You know, in week two is the same defense they got now. I mean, there really hasn't any kind of change. The way they played, their production, their consistency has been pretty much the same. And the offense, though, is where they've improved. And that is always sort of the norm with this football program. Clemson has always started off slow offensively. And I think it's just the way they do things and how each year they have new players that come in that they're trying to use, figure out how they're going to use them. They do that a lot the first 6 weeks of the season. And then by week six or seven, Dabo has this plan where he wants to start seeing his team get better and improve each week. And from an offensive standpoint, you've seen that when you look at Trevor Lawrence, he's not trying to do too many things. I think he was trying to make early in the season, he was just trying to make these, you know, he's got this strong arm and he's so confident with it and the throws he can make that he tries to put it in places maybe that he shouldn't. And he's just not going with where the best read is sometimes. And I think he kind of understood, I got to kind of stop doing that. I got to go for what the defense has given me and kind of go that route. He's done that more, and that's why you've seen in the last 6 weeks he hasn't thrown an interception at all. And, you know, he's got 20 touchdown passes and no interceptions during that time. And he's just taking care of the football better, making better decisions. And then from the standpoint of the running game and the offensive line, just making – they made a concerted effort there about week six or seven to say, okay, number nine has got to have the ball. You got to give Travis Etienne the football and let the offense revolve around him, and that's what they've done. And it all starts and ends with Travis Etienne. If the Clemson running game is going, then there's no chance for anybody to stop this offense.
Hey, Will, I'm wondering, could this have set up any better for Dabo and the way that he loves to motivate his guys? I mean, the fact that it seemed like we've talked about it on our show, how everyone nationwide just kind of wrote off Clemson after the close game with North Carolina. And all they've done is cover every single week and blow teams out. Been extremely impressive. And Dabo can sit there. And obviously the media stuff where he said, gosh, if we lose, they'll kick us out. You know, they'll put us at 30th or whatever. And he does his whole deal. But better than ever, he's known how to motivate his guys in the sense of they don't believe in us. They don't believe in you. It's, you know, us versus everybody else. And next thing you know, I mean, Bo and I have been talking about it. There's not many guys besides Isaiah Simmons on national awards. And you talk about Etienne being an All-American. The stuff that guys have done on that team has gone mostly unnoticed. How much does that play in the Dabo's favor?
Well, that just doesn't play in Dabo. That plays in Clemson's favor. And the reason why is, guys, you got to understand just being at Clemson and knowing what this little town's about. It's a small town. So when they say little old Clemson, you hear Dabo say that, he means that. It's little old Clemson. This is a town of only like 12,000 people, and the school, when school's in session, it goes to about 41,000, and that's about it. So it's a tiny place. Everybody knows everybody. There's probably 10 red lights in the whole city. and so Dabo plays off this little old Clemson, we're the underdogs, because that is what ignites his fan base. That's what ignites this community. And he plays it as good as anybody. And so he lets his team know. He says, hey, the reason we're not getting all this is because we're just little old Clemson. Nobody talks about us because we're just this little old school in the western part of South Carolina that nobody knows even where we're located. People think we're located in North Carolina or Georgia. They don't even know we're in South Carolina. And so he plays that as well as anybody and uses that disrespect. Nobody really knows who we are kind of thing as good as any coach. And this year he's taken it to another level because of what you just mentioned, how guys like Isaiah Simmons, and he got it noticed, but Trevor Lawrence, not in the Heisman conversation. And when you look at his numbers, especially the last 7 weeks, he's played as well as Joe Burrow, completing 78% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, no interceptions, as I mentioned. Travis Etienne has 7 of the last 8 games has run for over 100 yards. 2 of those games, he went for over 200 yards. Did all those numbers, guys, keep in mind, before halftime in those games. So, and that's another thing that's probably hurt them a little bit is they have dominated everybody they've played. And with the exception of North Carolina, they've won every game this season by at least 14 points or more. And 11 of those games are by 30 points or more. So they've dominated everybody they've played. And I think it's just because of that, people don't pay attention to Clemson because, you know, let's be honest, if you're not doing what I do for a living, you have to cover them. You know, are you going to watch them? If you're just a regular college football fan, you turn on the TV and they're already up 20 points, you know, before the first quarter's over? No. And I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, we know damn good and well who they are. We've seen you twice in the last decade, and you got the better both times. So we know very well who Clemson is, and they're not little old Clemson in any way, shape, or form. Well, I think from a strictly matchup standpoint, the one that I am very curious about, and I'm very concerned about Justin Fields' knee, because if the knee is healthy enough where he can go and take off and go, I think it changes this game a great deal. And the reason I say that is I don't know. Can you guys get – you're not going to get – you don't have the defensive line you had a year ago. Have you shown over the course of this year that you can get home? Because I know that was a concern a little bit down there, that could you get pressure with 4 this year? Is that something that improved as the year went along?
Yeah, it's hilarious. So, like, everybody looks at Clemson, oh, they don't get as good pressure as they have in years past. And that's true. But they're still ranked, 6th in the country in sacks this year.
Yeah.
And they got 38 or 39 sacks on the season. And that's considered a bad year for Clemson. So that's a compliment to Brent Venables and the defense of what they've done in the past, that even though they're 6th in the country in sacks, they're still, you know, but they're right behind Ohio State in tackles for a loss on the season. So they do get behind the backfield. Now, he does it a different way. Last year, he'd line up 4 guys, and he'd just say, okay, my 4 guys are come get you, and occasionally I'm going to bring some different kind of zone blitzes and things of that nature. This year, man, it doesn't matter who he's playing. He's bringing the house, you know, against everybody. Yeah. And he's confusing the quarterback, and he's, you know, doing different zone blitzes, things that are very complicated, but he's got a very senior-lated secondary where you've got 4 guys that have been with him for 4 or 5 years. They know everything that's going. Then he uses Isaiah Simmons as better than anybody, where sometimes he lines up a defensive end. Sometimes he lines up as Mike linebacker. Sometimes he's playing free safety. Sometimes he's playing strong safety. He's lined up and covered the guy in the slot. And they use him in so many different ways that the quarterback doesn't know what number 11 is doing. And that confuses a lot of quarterbacks. And I think that's going to be the number one thing with Justin Fields in this offense, is trying to figure out what number 11 is doing, first of all, and how they're using him. And then where is the pressure coming from? Because Clemson's going to bring it from all different areas. It could come from the corner. It could come from the safety. It could come from the linebackers. You know, they just don't rush their front four. Their front four has gotten better as the season's gone on. But, you know, they still – it's not like it was a year ago where they just dominated – dominated people with just their 4 guys up front.
Will, this was spectacular. Thank you for the insight, my friend. Have a great holiday season, and we'll see you in the desert in a week or so.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, man. We'll talk to y'all later.